Manx Radio's update with Dave Moore.
It's 5:30. You're listening to Manx Radio. I'm Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus Manx Sport, Business, Sea Watch and Travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person. Tonight, 150 new cases of COVID-19 reported in the island, including 4 in hospital, with none in intensive care. Coming up, we're reporting from day 2 of the employment tribunal involving the government's former medical director. Plus, the homestay scheme is relaunched following a poor uptake so far.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
But first, the news headlines with Christian Jones. Faster My, Christian.
Faster My. 150 new COVID-19 cases have been recorded in the last 24 hours, bringing the total number of active cases to 658. 4 people who have the virus are in Nobles Hospital, but none are in intensive care. A doctor accusing the health department of unfair dismissal claims the then chief executive subjected her to excessively long meetings as punishment for being a whistleblower. The medical director says she was treated differently to colleagues by Catherine Magson while on virtual meetings, being refused permission to turn off her camera while eating lunch, something she claims her colleagues were able to do. The MHK in charge of the government's housing strategy says a lack of census detail is proving to be an obstacle. Chris Thomas is the chair of the Housing and Communities Board, who says he still hasn't received the data from the last census day, almost 8 months ago. Turning out international news, Boris Johnson's prepared to deploy British troops to protect NATO allies in Europe should Russia invade Ukraine. He's warned President Putin he'll face ferocious Ukrainian resistance. Around 700 jobs are going to be lost at Royal Mail as part of a restructuring plan. It's hoping to save around £40 million a year by getting rid of management positions. And the chairman of Middlesex has been criticised for comments appearing to generalise why people from certain ethnic backgrounds have drifted away from cricket. Mike O'Farrell insists he didn't mean any offence. Those are update news headlines next at 6.
Man Benham. Contact with us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Cloudy but mainly dry this evening and tonight with light winds. Temperatures remaining around 7 degrees Celsius. Largely cloudy tomorrow with a strengthening southwest wind and outbreaks of rain or drizzle in the evening. Maximum temperatures around 9 degrees Celsius. Rain will clear overnight into Thursday, leaving a brighter day, but with the risk of a few showers. Moderate to fresh northwest winds, with temperatures again around 9 degrees. Sunset today was at 4:45. Sunrise tomorrow morning is at 8:16.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
Here with the latest COVID-19 statistics is Christian Jones.
The total number of active cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man has risen to 658. The latest figures released by the government show 9 people have been identified to have the virus following a positive PCR test, while the remaining 141 have reported positive lateral flow tests. A combined 150 new infections were recorded yesterday. In total, 91 active cases come as a result of a PCR test and 567 active cases come from LFTs. 4 people are currently in Nobles Hospital, but none of them are in intensive care. Walk-in clinics at Ramsey's District Cottage Hospital remain open until 6 o'clock today. The next walk-in clinic available to the public is on Thursday at Tyrussian.
A doctor accusing the health department of unfair dismissal claims the then chief executive subjected her to excessively long meetings as punishment for being a whistleblower. The details were heard at Dr. Rosalind Ranson's ongoing employment and equality tribunal against the Department of Health and Social Care. Sean Cowper reports.
The DHSC's medical director told the hearing she was embarrassed and humiliated in front of colleagues by Catherine Magson, the now former CEO of the department. Dr. Ranson alleges that Ms. Magson claimed she'd lied about being commissioned to put together a document for a government group during COVID-19. She also claimed that the chief executive would deliberately extend meetings to waste Dr. Ranson's time as punishment for whistleblowing. She explained that one meeting ran to more than 4.5 hours, during which she was asked questions she believes Ms. Magson would have already known the answer to. The medical director says she was treated differently to colleagues while on virtual meetings, being refused permission to turn off her camera while eating lunch, something she claims her colleagues were able to do. Dr. Ranson became emotional while describing how meetings would often be arranged at the end of the working day or in the evening. These included meetings with GPs, where a primary care director was also attending, which she believes meant her attendance wasn't necessary. She said she asked Miss Magson to excuse her from the meetings so she could attend orchestra rehearsals, something she described as the only thing she did to have a work-life balance, but was refused. The tribunal is expected to continue hearing from Dr. Ranson and her witnesses this week before the department presents its witnesses next week.
To comment on the update news agenda, call Manx Radio anytime on 682 631 or email update@manxradio.com.
Manx Care says programmes of elective surgery on the Isle of Man are now rebuilding. Chief Executive Theresa Cope provided an update on waiting times for several key services during a public board meeting today.
Manx Care inherited incredibly large waiting lists, which were partly due to COVID, but also I think there had been historic significant waiting lists with very high numbers of patients, over 4,000 waiting over a year for treatment. We subsequently put in additional business cases to Treasury to fund additional activity. It has taken a number of months to get those contracts all agreed, get all of the information sharing and governance arrangements fully in place for those to start, but we are starting to see the benefits of that work. Just coming to endoscopy, that work started. It has been delivered by internal teams working extra sessions, and by the end of February, an additional 550 endoscopy procedures will have been undertaken and the waiting list reduced significantly. With regards to cataract surgery, again, we are working with a external provider of cataract surgery. The contracts are now in place and we will be starting to invite patients for pre-assessment during February, and that work will start in March. So at the moment, we have around 1,300 patients waiting for cataract surgery. And this will deliver about 350 additional cataract operations from that business case during the course of March. In terms of orthopaedics, again, heavily impacted by COVID, there are currently around 530 patients waiting for inpatient orthopaedic procedures.
Former Chief Minister Howard Quayle's tourism business applied for financial support due to COVID-19. Tessa Hawley has this report.
In a statement, Mr. Quayle has confirmed the company he's a joint owner of made an application when their holiday cottages were hit hard by border closures. A Freedom of Information request submitted in June last year sought to find out if the then Chief Minister had received any money between April 2020 and June 2021. The Department for Enterprise blocked the request, citing exemptions, something which has now been overruled by the Information Commissioner. It's been ordered to revisit its response. Mr. Quayle claims that the first time he became aware of the FOI request and response was after Manx Radio published the story on Friday. In a statement, he says his business interests on the island have never been a secret and have been in the public domain since he was first elected in 2011. He's confirmed he is one of the owners of a self-catering accommodation business, but says he's not involved in the day-to-day running. Mr. Quayle adds, although the company did not apply in the earliest stages, once it became clear that the pandemic would last a considerable time, an application for support was made under the Coronavirus Strategic Capacity Scheme. I feel certain, he said, that the application would have been considered and dealt with like any other on the grounds of eligibility, meeting relevant criteria, and the full details will rightly be made available when published by the Department for Enterprise. Naturally, on any occasion, he says, when the question of support for holiday let businesses was discussed in the Council of Ministers, he made his interest clear and left the room, something which he says was also minuted. In his response, Mr. Quayle did not disclose how much financial support he received or whether he'd paid any of it back. Both questions the original Freedom of Information request sought to answer.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree is due into Douglas around 6 o'clock this evening, with the return to Heysham at a slightly later time of 8:15.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Efforts are underway to generate new visitors to the Isle of Man for the Manx Grand Prix to fill the capacity which exists within the accommodation sector. That's according to the Enterprise Minister, who was quizzed today on who had been consulted before this year's race schedule was reduced from 9 days. Tessa Hawley reports.
In the House of Keys this morning, Dr. Alex Allinson said extensive consultation had taken place with stakeholders from across the tourism industry, including those involved in accommodation. He also confirmed that the homestay scheme, which sees homeowners on the island open their doors to paying guests, was being relaunched after low take-up for both TT and MGP. The issue was one raised by Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Jason Morehouse.
What discussions took place with the organisers of homestay about meeting the demand of two major festivals in 2022? We heard yesterday the current low numbers of registered homestay providers could have a critical impact on the Manx Grand Prix. What contingency plans are in place in case numbers remain low?
Miquando were part of the accommodation sector focus group in June 2020, who operate the registration for the homestay scheme, which operates for both the TT and the Manx Grand Prix. They've reported a consistent daily flow of inquiries, but also the fact that to date there has been less people, there have been less properties signing up for homestay. Now, this is for a range of reasons, particularly the ongoing concern and anxiety over COVID, over Christmas. And I think a lot of people have waited to see what the schedule will be, but also what the COVID situation will be before they invite visitors into their own homes. So we're hoping to relaunch the homestay scheme. Miquando posted an advert last week to encourage hosts to register, and we will be working with those who perhaps haven't registered yet to encourage them to do so.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Plans are being readied for the construction of a new £100 million freight terminal at the port of Immingham in Humber, Lincolnshire. The Association of British Ports has signed a deal with Swedish ferry company Stena Line to jointly develop the new terminal, which it described as a significant infrastructure development for the region. ABP said it would apply for a development consent order from the United Kingdom Transport Secretary in early summer. Immingham is said to be the largest port in the UK by tonnage. Food and drink firms have raised fears over shortages as a deal that secured vital carbon dioxide supplies is about to end without an extension. A supply chain crisis was averted last year when the UK government stepped in to broker a three-month price-fixing deal between CO2 producers and industry. That deal will end in a few days, with the Food and Drink Federation warning of possible shortages on store shelves. The UK government says it's now for CO2 firms to ensure continued supplies. The UK economy will grow more slowly than expected this year as it recovers from the COVID pandemic, says the International Monetary Fund. The forecast for UK growth in 2022 has been cut to 4.7% from 5% in the IMF's latest World Economic Outlook. However, this will be the fastest in the G7 industrialised nations, as it was last year. It partly reflects a rebound from sharp falls the UK suffered during initial pandemic lockdowns 2 years ago. Royal Mail says it has begun consultations to slash around 700 management jobs as part of a wider cost-cutting plan. Bosses said the plans will cut costs by about £40 million a year, with around £30 million in its 2022-23 financial year. It came as Royal Mail revealed staff absences peaked at 15,000 in early January due to the spread of Omicron, which sparked delays for some postal services. The firm says last year's lockdown boom had eased off over the Christmas period as more shops were open, leading to falls of 4.9% in parcel revenues and 7% in volumes in the 3 months of 2021. UK and European stocks closed higher, recouping some losses from a sharp sell-off as investors sifted through a fresh batch of corporate earnings. US stocks extended their losses at the start of trading as investors await the Federal Reserve's policy-setting meeting amid worries over fast-approaching rate hikes and a lackluster start to earnings season. Oil prices climbed, regaining some of the ground lost in the previous day's sharp losses on concerns over possible supply disruptions amid rising geopolitical tensions in both Eastern Europe and the Middle East. Gold hit an over two-month high as concerns over tensions surrounding Ukraine prompted investors to flock to safe havens, even as they awaited the Federal Reserve's decision on its interest rate hike in trajectory. So, to the markets. At the close, the FTSE 100, 7371. That's up 1.02%. The DAX is at 15123. That's up 1.02%. The Dow Jones is 33,891. That's down 1.38%. And the NASDAQ, 13,424. That's down 3.12%. The exchange rates, the pound against the dollar, 1.349, and against the euro, 1.196. On to commodities, gold's at $1,848. That's up 0.31%. And Brent is at $87.9. That's up 1.02%.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
Dad! Dad!
Hello, son. How's things?
Great. I've been taking your advice.
That's a first.
It's true. I've started investing monthly with Shearwater ESG.
Good for you. But what's ESG?
It's a new option that lets me invest in what I care about, like our planet and sustainability. So I'm not just improving my future, but my kids too.
Maybe I should take your advice.
Make a difference with Shearwater ESG from Ramsey Crookall. For 75 years, the island's investment specialist, offering a wide range of services to make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Tell us your opinion on the news. Email update at manxradio.com or text 166177.
Onken commissioners have confirmed the departure of former clerk and chief executive Linda Radcliffe from the commission. Local Democracy reporter Sarah Handy has this story.
Mrs. Radcliffe was suspended in June of last year on grounds of misconduct amid allegations of bullying. MHK for Onken Julie Edge took to Twitter, calling for full transparency and an inquiry into what she sees as a problem which is ongoing at the expense of the ratepayer. I asked Chair of Onken Commissioners, Robin Turton, to respond to these claims.
The board, I believe, work well together. We have minor disagreements. I'd be very disappointed if we didn't, because everybody's got independent views. But at the end of the day, we reach a decision and we go forward with it. Mrs. Edge used to be a regular member at our board meetings, but she has been missing, I think, since her appointment as minister. I'm sure the workload she's got precludes her attending all the time.
Minister Edge noted that the commission has lost three clerks in recent years, so perhaps it's not so much about the board's working relationship together as a commission, but staff and employees. What would you say to that?
It's very hard to comment on staffing, as you know, because it is a private matter, and members of staff are entitled to have their business discussed in private. I think we've been unfortunate over the last couple of years, and I'm sure if you check, quite a lot of authorities and government departments seem to have a period where they change people sooner than they would like. But I believe we've now got a good working relationship and we're going forward with all our staff, who I think do an excellent job and provide a very good service for Onken, and we will continue to do that.
Minister Edge inferred that the clerk who had been suspended, that she's now stepped away. What was the situation surrounding that, if you're able to tell us?
Mrs. Radcliffe ceased employment with Onken commissioners on the 7th of January of this year and has moved on, and we wish her well in her further career.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
Fast Am I, Rob Pritchard.
Fast Am I, good evening. The next set of athletes to represent the Isle of Man at this year's Commonwealth Games have been confirmed. The Commonwealth Games Association of the Isle of Man has confirmed 9 athletes across 5 sports as part of its Tier 2 selections. Alex Bragazzi and Emma Hodgson join the aquatics team, whilst Joe Harris and David Malarkey link up with athletics. For cycling, Becky Story, Tom Mazzone and Ben Swift are called up. Tara Donnelly will represent in gymnastics, whilst Niall Cayley will take part in the triathlon. Isle of Man squad's chef de mission is Erica Bellhouse.
We've got a cross-section of sports, so it's really good to see some more sports come on board. We've got some strengthening of some teams. So the cycling, you can see we've had Ben Swift added to that already incredibly strong cycling team. Addition of some swimmers, so potential for maybe some relays there. And then, as I say, we've got gymnast and triathlete adding to that list of already really strong athletes going to Birmingham.
And preparations are now officially underway for one of the flagship local sporting events on the Isle of Man calendar. Training sessions have now begun for the Manx Youth Games following a launch event held in Douglas last night. Hundreds are expected to take part in training before facing off in a bumper event on the 7th of May. The new sponsor for this year's occasion, Sporting Club Isle of Man, also unveiled new eco-friendly shirts being worn this year, which are made from recycled bottles. Sporting Club IOM chairman Tony Keating says the games have been an important part of the Manx community for 20 years. Details of training sessions and how to get involved are available at www.msr.gov.im.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Let's begin at the airport. A slight 5-minute delay for the departure to Liverpool. It was due to go at 6:10. It's now showing as 6:15. The Gatwick is on time. That's the EasyJet flight at 8:00 this evening. In terms of arrivals, the Manchester arrived a few moments ago. That was around 10 minutes later than usual. Than scheduled, I should say. London Gatwick is showing as coming in at 7:30, and the Liverpool should be on time at 8:10. Going on to the road, starting in Douglas and Empire Terrace and the bottom end of Palace Road remain closed. Harcroft Road is closed at the junction with Bluffton Manor Hill. Up in Laxey, the bottom end of Minorca Hill is closed between Glen Road and Lower Cronkorrie. Out at Greber and Lights in Place, close to the Highlander, St Trinian's. Out to the west and the Kenay Road is closed for resurfacing near St John's. Heading northwest, and there are lights on the main road at the Ballera Junction at Kirkmichael. Down south now, and the shoulder road between the Round Table and Snuff the Wind Mines is closed. While in Ballasalla, traffic moving freely again, but from 9:15 tomorrow until 3 in the afternoon, temporary lights in place on Station Road, close to the Whitestone.
Massimo Tyres. Budget tyres priced to keep your vehicle safe and legal. Only available at...
Rates reform modernisation could be passed back to Tynwald. It's something that's been greeted with exasperation by some members of the House of Keys. John Moss reports.
Well, where is Manx rates modernisation at present? Well, there was a consultation early in 2019 on many aspects of domestic rates. It looked as though the ball was rolling. But then, of course, COVID happened. And to quote Cabinet Minister Kate Lord-Brennan speaking in the Keys today, it appears the ball is back in Tynwald's court if they want progress here. This is what Miss Lord-Brennan told Anne Corlett, who had asked if there was a real commitment to progress here.
If rates modernisation is something that Tynwald members wish to see come forward, elements of it might need to be addressed. You know, we need to be in a position to inform any legislative changes that are needed that would need to come from Treasury and also other parts of government. So I think that perhaps in some respects it may be that the ball is back in Tynwald's court on this.
After the key session, I asked Ms Corlett for her response to Ms Brennan's words.
I was disappointed with the answer. I felt there was no real commitment to rate reform, even though work has gone on, quite a lot of work has gone on. I didn't feel there was any real intention of progressing it.
It's been a long, ongoing story for years and years, but as you say, people included it on the doorstep when they were talking to people. So why isn't there an impetus?
I can't understand why not, because it is a real issue, especially Douglas ratepayers, actually, perhaps the towns more than the rural areas. But, you know, it's something that's gone on and on and on. And I don't know whether perhaps it's so closely tied to local government reform, that you know, there's a disinclination to progress it any further. But as I say, such work has gone on, and it seemed to get flipped back at some point to, well, this is for Tynwald to look at again. Well, it isn't. There was Tynwald resolutions which clearly set out.
Is it a Gordian knot problem? Does someone need to take a sword to it?
Absolutely. Well, somebody needs to push.
A Tory peer who lives in the Isle of Man is being investigated by the House of Lords Commissioner for Standards, Lewis Foster reports.
Baroness Michelle Moan, who's married to billionaire Manx resident Doug Barrowman, is facing an official probe into her alleged involvement with PPE Medpro. The firm won UK government contracts worth around £200 million via an alleged unlawful VIP lane. She's reportedly denied any association with the company, which she allegedly recommended to the UK's Cabinet Office as a potential supplier to the NHS in May 2020. Although she has no actual formal connections to the business in question, her denials have come under scrutiny due to publicly documented connections between Knox House Trust, the firm run by herself, along with her husband and Anthony Page, the owner of PPE Medpro, who is also believed to be living in the Isle of Man. Labour peer George Folkes recently referred Lady Moan to the Commissioner, and it's confirmed she's now being investigated under several sections of the Lord's Code of Conduct. He claims she'd failed to fully disclose her business interests in PPE Medpro, which could mean breaching the rules of lobbying when she referred the company to the UK government.
That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones and producer Tessa Hawley. If you have a comment on the news agenda, a story you think we should be covering, or just want to say hello from near or far, email update@manxradio.com. The stories you've heard on this update and much more Manx news, plus interviews and podcasts and the web's biggest source of Manx videos, are all at manxradio.com and via the free Manx Radio app. All you have to do is like Manx Radio on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. That's it from me, Dave Moore. I'll be back tomorrow with Update at 5:30. Good evening.